We hear the word of the Lord as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, in the second chapter, a familiar story, I'm sure. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, for he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Make the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On the surface, that first Christian night might seem to be a pretty questionable source of joy. Think about it. Some years ago, a psychologist by the name of Thomas Holmes proposed a point system to measure the degree of stress in his patients' lives. It wasn't about good things or bad things. Either one can be stressful. For instance, he figured out that a loss of a job was 35 points. Getting married was 50 points. Whatever. Moving to a new city was 25 points. And he had a long list of ratings like that. And the idea was people would go down the list and check the things that they felt in their lives. He said that typical Christmas season produced 14 points. If you're on a church staff, it's probably a little more than that. But the idea was you add up all the points. And if you scored higher than 200, you were on a quake line. You could be headed for a nervous breakdown. Well, Bridget Coons took Holmes' scale and applied it to the Virgin Mary on the first Christmas. She calculated that any pregnancy was worth 40 points, and an unplanned one added 20 points to that. Mary moved in, we read, with her Aunt Elizabeth, for 3 months, that was 25 points on home scale. The family argument that she learned that Joseph had failed to make a reservation at the Holiday Inn, that was probably another 39 points. And Coons added 31 points for the changes in sleeping and eating habits on a journey. And then there was the uninvited guests, shepherds coming and going, the wise men around, smelly sheep and camels. Remember Holmes said 200 points was getting near the quake line? Well, Bridget Coons calculated Mary's stress status that first Christmas Eve was 424. How do you get much joy out of that? And yet, if there's any one emotion that's linked to Christmas, surely joy is there. We see it on the cards. We see it on people's faces. We sing about it in the carols. All you need to do is look around. And it's there through Scripture too, ringing like a bell from back through the times of the prophets up to the night of the birth and the angels in their proclamation, and on into the New Testament. Paul, in his letters, 50 times or more mentions to Christians to rejoice, be joyful. Where does it come from, this Christmas joy that so permeates the season? What is it about Christmas that makes it joyful? Well, we need to understand that some of the joy of the season is not necessarily Christmas joy. Maybe at Christmas time, but it's not necessarily Christmas joy. That's why some of it doesn't last. I read about a junior high teacher who was overheard in the barber shop and he's getting his hair cut, describing the excitement in school when it was announced that classes were being dismissed for the Christmas vacation. He said there was foot stomping and wall banking and all sorts of rejoicing. And the barber said, "A real wild time, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, and that was just in the teacher's lounge." A winter break, a break from winter, a touch of sunshine maybe, change of pace. Those are events worth being joyful about. But the joy they bring isn't the joy of Christmas. That's just a holiday. You can have a holiday if schools and businesses close for any reason. That wouldn't make it Christmas joy. But where does the joy come from? Well, I have to add another one. Christmas joy doesn't come from family. I feel a certain stress point just making that kind of a statement. Because family is a special time for Christmas. And we rightly emphasize and cherish family time. When I got that phone call late last evening from Dr. Landis about preaching today, we had literally just walked in the door from a time with Sam and Sue and Ben and Haley, our Michigan Midland family folk, decorating cookies. Tradition we've had since the kids were big enough to do it. Something that we cherish. I wouldn't miss it for the world. But so I stand here saying, family is not the source of Christian joy. Now understand, I'm not saying there's no joy in family at Christmas. I'm not saying family time at Christmas is not important. I'm saying family is not the source. Indeed, there are people who find it hard to enjoy all the family emphasis that comes at Christmas time. Either because they don't have a family or they don't have one that's very joyful or anything being worth joyful about. And so for those folk, all the focus on family at Christmas time becomes a time of accentuated loneliness. The happiness and sharing they see and hear about in others makes what they so surely lack. And family joy at Christmas can be difficult to come when your family has to endure all the commercials that tell about how wonderful things are out there and you can't afford the minimum things. And truly, there isn't much family joy in the first Christmas following the loss of a loved one with whom you've shared so many Christmases. There was a country western song many years ago about a blue Christmas that focused on that kind of feeling. And while I can understand the feeling of the song, I have to say I don't agree with the theology of it. Because it seemed to make it sound like Christmas is supposed to take its tone from how we feel rather than us taking our tone from Christmas. Part of the joy of Christmas has to do with children. But Christmas is more than children. And I realize that giving our culture's emphasis on children, that may sound sacrilegious, but again, don't misunderstand me. I love children. I sometimes find I enjoy them more in shorter periods than I used to. I love to see the smiling faces around churches at Christmas time. In the sanctuary at the church at Birmingham, where I sat waiting for whatever part I had in the service, I could see the congregation more, and I always loved it when the children sang. I couldn't see the children's choir faces, but I could see the faces of the people who were watching the children's choir. And I used to tell them I wasn't sure who was the most blessed, them getting to watch the children or me getting to watch them watch the children. They're part of Christmas. I love children's role in Christmas. I love the angels with the floppy wings and the stars with flashlights and the shepherds with sticks and the kings with bathrobes. Cecil B. DeMille, eat your heart out. I wouldn't change a bit of it. One of the cherished pictures in our family album is our first granddaughter in a manger here in this area on Christmas Eve. I'm a part of the, or on Christmas pageant, I should say, as a part of that service. Pacifier and all. But as a source of Christmas joy? I'm sorry. No. Sad to say, children don't guarantee joy. Probably should. For many, they do. But every day there are children born without joy. Unwanted pregnancies, abused children, even murdered children, abandoned children. Don't ask me why such things happen. I don't know. But they do. All I'm saying is if we're looking for the joy of Christmas, the journey takes us beyond the children. We can enjoy children because of Christmas and during Christmas, but they're not the source. Part of the joy of Christmas is friendship. Once again, the joy of Christmas doesn't come from friends. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying friends don't make Christmas time special. I love hearing from friends at Christmas time. I enjoy the busy, sometimes frantic schedules of the season. Back in the days when we had several groups at the parsonage at Christmas time, there were joyful times. I have a dear friend, and over the years we've developed a custom at Advent, Christmas time, of getting together and working up pictures, deciding which pictures from the parks we visited that summer on hiking trips to put into a calendar. It's a joyful time. I wouldn't miss it. But they're not the source of Christmas. Charles Schulz has a reminder that Christmas is more than other people. Charles Schulz had a peanut strip in which Lucy asked Linus, "Why were people put on earth?" And Linus, being the serious philosopher that he always is, ponders a moment, and then he says, "I read somewhere that every person on earth was put here to make someone else happy." Lucy ponders that for a moment, and then she shouts, as nobody but Lucy can shout, "Somebody isn't doing their job." Other people are not the source of joy at Christmas. But joy was there. You see it in people's faces. You experience it in the different things that happen, the cards and the letters, in families, in children, and other people are part of that. But as marvelous as those things are, they can't bear the weight of life at times. I always remember and cherish an article by Bishop Dwight Loader in Michigan Christian Advocate years ago. I know I told some of you about it, but it bears repeating. It was about a young man whose parents were killed in an accident at Christmas Eve. And he spoke to as he left the hospital, numb with grief and shock, he said to a friend who went there with him, "I guess this will spoil Christmas for me forever." And the friend said, "You mustn't look at what has happened. Look at Christmas in the light of what has happened. You need to look at what has happened in the light of Christmas." Yes, always. Even when it brings tears or eyes to do it. The charming and the adorable elements of Christmas are the things we've added. Rightly so. But they can't stand the weight of the sorrow because they become part of the sorrow at times. It's not about a failure of, not about Christmas. It's about the failure of things we've linked to Christmas in these blue times. But the real joy of Christmas can bear that weight. The evergreens, the poinsettias, the hollies, the bows, the candles, they give a special beauty to Christmas. I love what Pat still does to our home at Christmas time and all the beauty. They may reflect the meaning of Christmas, but they don't provide it. It's not Christmas because these things are here. These things are here because of Christmas. It wasn't Christmas because the angels sang. The angels sang because it was Christmas. And it's easy to confuse the elements sometimes. We go about our parties thinking of all that we have done to make it Christmas, when all along it's supposed to be about all that Christmas has done to make us. William Willimon once told one of Frank Craddock's stories from early in Craddock's ministry. It was about a girl whose parents brought her to church every Sunday, but they never came. They would drop her off Sunday school, go have breakfast someplace, come back and pick her up. So we got used to seeing the little girl there by herself in church. Father had a good job, considered one of the comers in a nationally known company with headquarters in the town, and the parents were known throughout the community for their wild Saturday night parties. One Sunday, Fred Craddock said he noticed the little girl in worship with two adult friends with her. And then he realized the adult friends were her parents. And after the sermon, when people were invited to come up to join the church and become part of the Christian life, the parents came up. And when he talked to them afterwards, he asked them, "What happened? Why are you here?" And so they told him, he said, "Do you know about our parties?" And they acknowledged that he did. They said, "Well, we had one last night. It got a little rowdy and a little rough, and there was a lot of drinking and a lot of noise, and it woke up our daughter. She started downstairs sort of half asleep, and when she got a few steps from the bottom, she saw all the people and the eating and the drinking, and she said, 'Oh, can I say the blessing? God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Good night, everybody.' And she trundled back upstairs to bed." Said, people started suddenly saying to us, "Well, it's getting late and we really better be going. Thanks for a good evening. Thanks for a great party." And he said, in about 2 minutes, the room was empty. Said, we began picking up the mess, spilled peanuts, half glasses of drinks and cans and dropped napkins. And we carried him into the kitchen and we looked at each other and we said, "What are we doing?" How about us in the midst of all these things that are so wonderful at Christmas? Will there be a time for remembering what it's really about? Will we take the time to honor the Christ in the midst of the celebrations? I invite you when you go home today to read again that Christmas story. I know you've heard it here. Do it again on Christmas Day with family, with friends, or alone. And as you read it, notice again what the joy of Christmas was all about. And let it bless your family and your friends and your times. But don't confuse what Christmas blesses with what blesses Christmas. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the joy of Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.